Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Josh, I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you being here. Yeah. Tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do as COO of Plantonics.
Yeah. So I'm calling in from Ashland, Oregon, Southern Oregon, if anybody doesn't know. And it's beautiful here today. It's just starting to get into the 90s, which is amazing because it's been very cold. So Plantonics, I started there, October 2021. And before that, I actually was working a graveyard shift at a printing company. It was kind of the only job I could find at the time after some time. It's kind of just doing some side work and stuff. And before that, I was laid off due to COVID, blah, blah, blah. And I've been working in what I like to call white collar jobs for about 5 years before that. But my entire career since I was 16 was all blue collar stuff. I worked probably about 10 years in a produce department, ended up managing the freezer and working in produce. But I've always kind of had an interest in computers and tech stuff. I did a little bit of about a year and a half, two-year stint at lynda.com, actually, which they were purchased by LinkedIn. And so that's kind of where really my curiosity really kind of bloomed. And I got to work with all these amazing people. I was actually just in the shipping department at first, and then I was what's called a runner. So I saw like the whole company grow from when I started, there was about 65 people there. And when I left, there was like 200 or something, 300 over the course of 2.5 years or something like that. So I met a lot of really cool people that, you know, had worked at like Adobe and Microsoft and whatnot. And then I also had free access to their online training library, which was to just sit there and kind of, you know, basically at work, the shipping department had to be there till five to have all the shipments go out, right? But we had about 4 or 5 hours worth of work every day. So I would just sit there and poke around the library and learn stuff. That's where I originally learned like Photoshop and Illustrator. Took some classes there on or whatever, watched the videos on HTML, CSS, JavaScript. So that kind of led me down the path of eventually wanting to, again, get out of this blue collar thing and wanted to work in an office. I wanted to pay my bills with my head instead of my hands. And so I found Plantonics on an Indeed listing, and position was actually just for warehouse. And I'm like, hey, this looks like a cool company. So when I went in for the interview, it was kind of a switcheroo, I guess, but it was a good one because they were like, oh, the position is not available anymore for the warehouse. We hired somebody, but I see you have this experience working with Shopify websites and that kind of stuff. You know, would you want to come up and work in the office? I was like, yeah, definitely. But the pay, I was like, but I'm not going to take what you guys are offering for the warehouse to do that. So we negotiated for a couple of days, and then they brought me on. And so my first gig was just basically install a new theme to their Shopify site, kind of customize it a little bit, update a lot of their product photos, like kind of just bring the website into a professional sense where it looks like something trustworthy that you want to buy from. But then, so backing up, the history of Plantonics is kind of interesting. Two guys from India ended up founding it. One of them, his name was Ajit. He moved to the US, I think like 2010, 2012-ish, worked for a couple of years in a garden supply store and kind of saw this hole that he could fill because he had connections in India. And one of the specific products that he saw being sold here was, it's a coconut-based like soil amendment, basically. It's a soilless medium is what they call it. So it's called Cocoquar. And so he kind of put some money together, went back to India, found a trading company over there, built a warehouse, built a facility. So that's the main product. It's basically people want their coconut water and their coconut milk and the coconut flesh itself. And after it's all removed, there's this husk left over. So it's basically a byproduct, not really a waste product, but a byproduct. So they separate the fibers and the shell from the what's called pith. And then as far as I know, it's kind of, the definition is kind of interesting, but so the coir is what's left over with different levels of the fibers left over in the pith. The processes that he not really patented, but kind of figured out to make it better than a lot of the competitors was just different ways of straining the extra, like the little fine hairs that in there and then destoning it more and that kind of stuff. So he started a company called Cosmic Connections. And so they're still our sister company, and they import everything and sell by the pallet or the container. So pretty much to nurseries, soil companies, that kind of thing. And then he brought over a friend of his that he met through like family connections. His name is Mikesh. And so Mikesh worked at Microsoft and it's a little bit more on the tech side of things. So he started the Amazon store. So it's wholesale and then now, you know, direct to consumer. And Mikesh literally went probably about 3.5, maybe 4 years, pretty much not seeing his family and living in the warehouse and like living and bleeding Plantonics and building out the Amazon store. And I mean, everything from packing the boxes, putting the Amazon shipping stickers on them, waiting and loading them up with the pickup, and or actually he was driving them down to the post office. And then at night he'd be researching on different keywords to use for the ads. And all that work has finally, I mean, it's been paying off, but it's finally really paid off now where, you know, we're like one of the top sellers for this stuff. And I think a lot of the other companies that are doing it are much bigger. And, you know, a lot of times on Amazon, what people do is they just look at what's selling and they go, hey, I can do this. And then they do it, but it's never quite as good. And Amazon doesn't care because they're making their money. So I think that's like the long and short of it. By now, my job description doesn't really exist. It's like I help steer the ship and I help take out the trash and everything in between.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I guess that their original go-to-market strategy with this product was definitely more on the wholesale side, kind of selling to nurseries and other like businesses that need it. How much has the direct-to-consumer side of the business grown since you started doing that through Amazon and through your own website?
On Amazon, it's grown a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he did in the first couple of years, but the last 3 years, we've been trending over $6 million in sales on Amazon, and then we're trending higher, but challenges are keeping Amazon in stock. Like, we have no trouble with demand, which is good. It's a good problem to have. So we've expanded to a lot of other soil amendments and fertilizers as well. Like, we have perlite, we're launching vermiculite soon, biochar. We have a mycorrhizal inoculant that's really, really popular. For anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's basically like a fungal spores that are living in like a clay medium, either a powdered medium or a granular medium. And you kind of sprinkle that in your hole or on the root ball after you plant something, and then it encourages the fungal network that happens between the roots and the rest of the soil. And then it helps the plants exchange nutrients with the soil. And so the plant gets nutrients and the fungus gets carbohydrates to keep growing. But it's kind of interesting. Like, there's a lot of science that goes behind all this stuff. Like, I kind of knew a little bit about soil science before all this, you know, I was a big time gardener and stuff before I moved to Oregon. But even CocoCore, I didn't know a lot. I had to do a lot of research to effectively market it. There's things like cash and exchange capacity and electrical conductivity, which I'm not even really going to try to explain because we don't have a lot of time on this podcast.
Right.
But it's really interesting. And I encourage everybody listening to look this up because it's, you know, if you're at all interested in this, like science and this kind of stuff. But, you know, basically what it is the ability for a plant to absorb nutrients has to do with the electrical conductivity and the cash and exchange capacity of the soil medium. And that actually comes down to the charge of the ions in the soil, which it's mind-blowing stuff. I'll read again about it every once in a while and I still don't fully understand it.
I'm really curious, I guess, how do you get the $6 million in revenue selling this stuff to, because obviously, like, you know, a layperson doesn't understand what these terms mean, doesn't understand probably even like really like what this product maybe can do or make their, if they are gardening at home, like how it can make that better. Do you think most of your sales have come from people kind of already having an understanding of being that kind of problem aware and actively looking for a solution? Or do you feel like you did enough consumer education to really, you know, get people ordinarily wouldn't even know that this is a problem that you're solving and then lead them down the path to solving it with your product?
Such a great question. I think one of the biggest factors in our success is us understanding how to serve ads on Amazon. I mean, that's kind of the really easy way, an easy answer.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of people that, so Quora itself is definitely, it has been gaining popularity for the past about 10 years. And it's probably been used in soil mixes for maybe 20 or longer. I'm not sure. So what it is at its heart is it's an environmentally sustainable and or more environmentally sustainable than peat moss. So a lot of people know what peat moss is. It's right. been used in the soil industry for a long time. And I may catch some flack for saying that it's more environmentally sustainable than peat moss because, I mean, that conversation is still ongoing and there's a lot of factors into it. CocoCore has to be shipped over here from India or Sri Lanka.
Right.
But it's already a byproduct. So it would have gone into landfills and there are sustainable operations, peat moss operations in Canada that I haven't done too much research on it, but what it comes down to is peat moss has to be literally excavated from soil, and apparently they can grow it enough and make enough of it to where then they leave that acre or two that they harvested it from, and then they don't touch that for years and they kind of rotate or something. But for me, I'm a little bit more uncomfortable with literally excavating something out of the ground that they've left it alone. It could then turn into this peat bog that's very healthy, and it's an ecosystem for hundreds of thousands of different organisms. And
right. So
it's funny, I've seen a lot of, like, you know, we will market things. Like one time I made an Instagram post that just said peat moss sucks. So I wanted the bad comments because it's all engagement, you know?
Right.
And it's like, but you catch a lot of flack when you do that kind of stuff. And so, but anyway, yeah, I think the success is, it's, there's a lot to it. Like, so if you go really, really high funnel, like you have somebody that doesn't ever want a garden, but maybe is a little bit interested in, like, after COVID, oh, maybe I should grow my own food, or, you know, blah, 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 all these different things. And okay, maybe I want a garden. Okay, cool. So, and then they're also, maybe they're a little bit environmentally conscious. Okay. So now a little bit lower in the funnel, and there's a lot of really great content that gets produced every day. Some of the really good ones, the biggest name in gardening content side is, the guy's name is Kevin Espiritu, and his website is epicgardening.com. And I think he got lucky in some ways, because at the time when he started, there wasn't really anybody doing what he did, but he also put a lot of hard work into just teaching people how to grow. And then he slowly but surely kind of figured out how to monetize that. And he has just got, I think, 3 million-ish subscribers on YouTube total. He's probably got maybe 5 million across all the interwebs. You know, really authentic guy. You know, he's just basically teaching people how to grow. He's still doing that. He's still making videos. Then he has this brilliant, vibrant community where you join his Facebook group, and there's, I don't know, maybe 50-100 posts a day, and he jumps in every once in a while, but it's mostly just people talking about growing, and they're like, hey, they take a picture of their plant, hey, this is looking bad, or this pest or something, and then people join in and help out. And then, you know, another one, we super excited to mention this guy. He's got about 1.3 million subscribers. His name is James Prigioni, so it's the gardening channel with James Prigioni, and we came to a great agreement and great deal last December. He's actually selling our stuff on his website.
Oh, awesome.
And it's kind of a dream come true, because we're basically getting paid to have top of funnel exposure. It's great. And he's super authentic as well. He's just excited to grow, and he just wants to teach people. And so we had several conversations over the course of about a month and a half, and a couple times me and him and his business partner would be on the Google Meet call for an hour, 2 hours. And I was giving them all of my knowledge that I have as far as how to set up a Shopify store right, and then how to do it where, when you do want to expand to Amazon, do these steps first. You know, as long as you do these first, then once you do want to launch on Amazon, it's like, it's really easy. You don't have to go back and deal with all this other crap. But anyway, I feel like I'm just like blathering on about this stuff.
No, I appreciate you sharing your story. And I don't get to have a lot of people who kind of come from the outside of, you know, kind of developing and growing brands like this. So I think it's actually, yeah, your story is really illuminating, I think, for a lot of people who might be interested in getting involved with maybe a startup or just a brand that's maybe in its infancy or just still has a lot of growth to go and kind of be in on the ground floor. There's a great way to get experience, like almost like an entrepreneur yourself. I know you mentioned yourself, you can't really describe your job function because you just kind of wear every hat that's necessary at any given time. Yeah. And like, that's what being an entrepreneur is all about, whether you're a founder or whether you're like an executive partner like you are to these guys. I think that experience can be really illuminating for somebody who wants to, you know, get in with that experience, but maybe just doesn't have the capital to bootstrap an entire business on their own. So no, I actually really appreciate you kind of going like super in depth with your story and, you know, about the brands. I guess I just wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, before we jump off, or just give you an opportunity to, you know, plug the website, your social medias, anywhere people can stay in touch with you guys, whether it's for a business partnership or just wants to try out the product. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
Plantonics.com is our website, and we have most of our products there. We're still trying to get kind of product parity with Amazon. The thing is, and you can go to Amazon, search for Plantonics, search for Coco Core, you'll see us there. All the socials are either just Plantonics or Plantonics Organics. And kind of full disclosure, we kind of have been restructuring a little bit to where we really haven't been doing much other than just Amazon stuff, because, you know, we can spend $1 on an Amazon ad and we know we're going to make $6 or $7 back. And there's also a lot of the logistical stuff as far as, again, like we can't be running out of stock. And so pretty much the rest of this year, we're just going to be doing that. And if people want to come to our website and buy it there, great. great. Like we make a little more money on it. And, you know, we always want to build that email list and all that kind of stuff. But I think next year we're priming it up for the, you know, this year and at the end of the year, but next year we're really going to launch and kind of, so a great conversation the boss and I had and the owner and I had was we have a great company, but we don't really have a great brand. Mm. And it's like, once he phrased it like that, I was like, you know what? You're right. Again, we have to, company has to be super strong and we have to be able to not run out of stock. And then once that's completely solved, we can actually invest the money that it's going to take to create the brand, which is probably several hundred thousand dollars realistically, if you come into all the ad money and all the labor and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I think I could even maybe make a like a coupon code or something for your listeners so they can get, you know, 20% off their first order or something on our website. Awesome. To give them a little boost in the right direction.
Awesome. No, that's amazing. And yeah, I appreciate you sharing that as well, because I think it's obviously something that comes up the folks that I talk to as well in any kind of CPG capacity as far as the brands go. And I think you know, a lot of people's advice when I ask if you could go back and do anything different, especially with people are, you know, like founders since the beginning, I always love to ask, you know, if you do anything differently, go back and start the business again. And one of the biggest things I hear is actually that is that like slow growth is good growth in CPG. Like there's no overnight success. There's no like instant fulfillment of things like it is with maybe a SaaS company. You could take a million new subscribers to your app or something, or to your like, you know, web application in a day. Yeah. Like you can't, like fulfillment takes a while and it's expensive. So I think it's a great nuanced perspective on that is let's take the time to figure out that so we don't run out of stock, and then we can worry about making the brand better so we can like exponentially grow that. But we need to have the fulfillment behind first. I think it's good advice, and it's something I hear, you know, I always say like, but when I started doing the podcast, it was kind of like anecdotal evidence and something I already thought. But then when you hear it 45 times, it's really not so anecdotal anymore. So I think it's one thing to really look forward to if you're, you know, looking to get into CPG is that it's slow growth, but you can sit there and know that like your slow growth, as long as it's steady, is the right way. Because believe me, I mean, the 100 podcasts I've done since I started doing this, all the most successful ones I've done, they share that exact same story that it's just slow, and you know, the relationship's the most important thing. And so yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. And Josh, just want to wish you the best of luck and continued success in everything that you're doing. I really appreciate you being here and coming on today, and certainly look forward to staying in touch as well.
Yeah, definitely. I guess one last thing, I can make the code right now and then we can mention it on the show, just as far as what the discount code would be. And if I don't do it now, I'll probably forget. So I guess just the email I got for the thing was interview call, and yeah, percentage, it'll be 20% off. So cool. Yeah, I'll get this set up and then I can email you the link. I think it's a direct link that people can just click on. So it'll be 20% off the whole order.
Awesome, man. That sounds great. I really appreciate that. And yeah, like I said, just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success, Josh. I love what you're doing with this brand and kind of hear a little bit about your backstory. So, and yeah, we'll definitely be in touch. And I know you said you're kind of looking to start some of your own someday, obviously. So love to hear more about that if you ever go down that road too.
Yeah, if you ever somebody else to be on the podcast, I love talking about this stuff. I can do it all day. So
awesome, man. I appreciate you, Josh. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Take care, man.
See ya.